everybody. Welcome to the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. We're talking Manchester United. Are they finished? It's also a very big few weeks for Liverpool. It's make or break, in fact, for their title race. They've got Chelsea, Arsenal and a load of other teams. And we're also doing a Premier League report so far. How are they performing? And I'm starting off with a very interesting question about Cole Palmer. Let's get to it. Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
Everybody's favourite player in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah.
If you were a Premier League manager and you were offered Cole Palmer, would you say yes? Or is there another player in the Premier League at the moment that you would take? Because I've got two I would take over Cole Palmer if I were Man United.
Yeah, well, I think I'd go back to the boardroom and I'd say, look, this is a great start, lads. Cole Palmer's a fantastic option, but let's have a look at some of the other ones. And for me, that first name would be Bukayo Saka. I think for whatever reason this year, just getting a little bit of disrespect where the numbers have been absolutely phenomenal. I think he surpassed the milestone for 100 chances created and goals and assists the other week, and the names he was up there with, Premier League legends, let alone football legends. And this season he's been an absolute house on fire. So I'd throw him in the mix and I'd say, lads, let's have a little chat in this boardroom. Who's your other one?
Who did you go with?
Thanks for listening. Bukayo Saka I went with.
Oh yeah, that's all right. No, it's not who I would go with. I think
what, you would never mean you as your other two?
No, if I was offered Cole Palmer now and somebody said, we can get you Cole Palmer, we can get you anybody from the Premier League right now for Manchester United, who would you take? I would still take Salah ahead of him, because Man United need a right winger, and also Salah's numbers are just ridiculous.
Though he's, what, 31, 32 now?
Right now, yeah.
I think that's a very Manchester United move, what you've done there.
Yeah, but I'm not
taking an ageing...
I'm just talking about pure talent. So I'd take Salah over Palmer still. And I'd actually take Declan Rice over Cole Palmer as well. I think Declan Rice is the best holding midfielder in the Premier League now that Rodri's gone. And I think that's a very important position. So for me, at the moment, I would take Rice and Salah for United over Cole Palmer.
What about Erling Haaland?
Man United and Erling Haaland. Man United need to sort out the creative tap. I'd take Cole Palmer over Erling Haaland.
Really?
Yeah. Erling Haaland's a brilliant striker. No, there's no doubt about it.
But it's just interesting you take Salah over Palmer.
Yeah, because I think Man United need a winger. And I think that Salah's... I think I don't like Liverpool, but Salah is just massively underrated. And I think if you put him into Arsenal, Man City, Man United, wherever, he would deliver, because he's just so used to delivering on that right-hand side under pressure. That Liverpool side has, you know, he's carried that Liverpool side for years, hasn't he? And he still keeps on delivering.
Well, if you're doing it from a Man United gaze, which, you know, as a Birmingham one, I'd literally take everyone. Maybe not this, actually, the midfield two's been very good. We'll come on to that later. But, you know, even your Alisson, your Edison's, you've got to put in there then.
Yeah, but we're saying, who would you take over Cole Palmer? You're turning it into something else. Who would have taken Man United?
No, but you're speaking about Manchester United.
I've got a big bloody list.
Yeah, well, you take everyone at the moment.
If I had to take one player from the Premier League right now for Manchester United, I probably would take Declan Rice.
Anthony says, Will, you're underrating Salah. I think one thing that we've both agreed on throughout the duration of this podcast since we began last August is that we do not underrate Mo Salah. We talk him up. We think he is severely underrated, and anything we can do in this podcast to talk him up is something that we will do to our strongest beliefs.
Original G's says Declan Rice is washed, mate. He does a job in the holding midfield position that I would love at Manchester United. And that obviously tells you how bad Man United are in the midfield. But look, if you're a Spurs fan, you're not going to want Declan Rice, are you? If you're a Man City fan, you might not want Declan Rice. If you're a Liverpool fan, you might not want Declan Rice. But what I'm saying is, if you were offered Cole Palmer now at your football club, would he be the player you would take from the Premier League at the moment? I think he's fantastic, but I would take Declan Rice for Man United, because Cole Palmer, really, I don't think Man United need a bloody...
What about if you're Arsenal? Because, you know, Man United...
I think Cole Palmer at Arsenal right now would be perfect, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
In that Odegaard role.
Over Odegaard?
Well, he's injured.
No. Come on. No.
Yeah, but you'd find a place for him.
Yeah.
You'd find a place for him.
What about open it up to the world? Because the only other two then that spring to mind, well, three actually that spring to mind, are all at Real Madrid.
Yamal.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vinicius Jr., Bellingham and Mbappe.
Yeah.
I'd love to just... this is more just on all the stuff that's coming out of Cole Palmer with the memes and everything like that.
Did you see that clip at the weekend? I didn't really get the context of it, with Niamh Stuntpeg talking about Bastoni, 25.
Yeah, she was just...
was she saying? Best 25-year-old?
Best. She basically was saying, like, you can all say those obvious names, but she was like, here's a guy that's maybe not had the sort of attention, here's the reason why. She was just throwing another name into the mix.
It was a hipster point.
No, I think she strongly believes it as well. She watches Serie A.
So do I.
You don't watch Serie A?
I've watched it since the 90s. Everybody knows that. The chat know it.
You've not watched Serie A. What's the last full Serie A game you watched?
I watched Inter Milan against Di Baggio in Perugia for 92 minutes. No, I don't watch it. I don't watch it as much as I used to. But I watch the highlights.
But that's the thing with those shows, isn't it? Like, not that I am getting asked, and you've made your point clearly. If you go on there, it just feels like they're trying to just... They didn't even tag her in the initial clip.
Didn't they?
No. So it was like, we're trying to just... It just feels like a bit of a stitch-up, really.
Well, they're growing off her intelligence.
Yeah. And you know,
a bit like you, off me. Let's bring it back to the Premier League anyway. Some fantastic chats coming in about Manchester United being finished. Well, we've made it through a week. We didn't do the podcast on Friday because there was no football at the weekend, and that was very refreshing. But we didn't know last Monday whether Ten Hag was going to survive. There was big meetings on Monday and Tuesday, and apparently that was all media spin because he's still in charge. Now, we would expect him to be in charge for Brentford. Do we think, as many Man United fans are starting to think, that Man United's made the right decision, but also is there any way back for their season now? Still only 6 points off fourth. They're still in all the competitions. What comes next for Manchester United, or is it going to be a long, hard slog?
It's going to be a long...
More injuries as well. Mazraoui's had a heart condition. Maguire's injured. He's had a minor... I think he's had like one of those irregular heartbeat things. So he's had one of those. So he's out for a few weeks. Maguire's out for a few weeks.
Mount's,
yeah. He's always out for a few weeks, he is. It's like my cat.
I didn't actually know Mount with that. I was just like, Mount,
yeah.
Out for a few
weeks.
He's
like my cat. He's always out.
Is he?
Yeah.
How's your new cat getting on?
Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't see it that often.
Yeah.
Don't really care. No, I do. I love animals. I think we sit here now and we probably know less than we did last week, if that makes sense, because maybe those meetings were all media spin, but I think if you're in EOS, you need to recognise as a fan base that it did get to fever pitch, didn't it? Where people were getting to Tuesday thinking this is the decision. But then I suppose it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because then you can't come out and say, make a statement, because then that makes it sound like... I just feel like it's an absolute mess. Like the other week, I think the clip was me just telling you that there is no positive going forward. And to be honest, it feels even more... The only way that this can turn around is literally
winning.
On the field, beat Brentford. But with Thomas Frank coming to town, obviously one of your favourite coaches in the Premier League.
Well, also, I think with Brentford as well, they've scored in the first 2 minutes of the last four games.
Yes.
So that first 2 minutes of Man United Brentford, you're going to be sort of like, just keep it, just defend,
back.
Everybody back.
Win the toss.
Everybody back. It's a weird one because I think that's a great record. But no, the official line sort of coming from United midweek last week was in total contradiction to what was being fed by the media, that there was this big meeting in London and the meeting's over. And Man United sort of let it be known to a lot of journalists, and we got told it as well, was that, look, that meeting was planned in for weeks. There was never going to be an announcement afterwards. Yeah. And we're not going to comment on the media stories that was about Ten Hag being sacked. So they basically just let the week go. And I also think that... I did a video on the United Stand last night, so there might be some United Stand viewers watching, so I'll summarise it very, very quickly. We did a video last night, just sort of like trying to figure out what Ten Hag, what the conclusion was from Ineos, and I think basically it's not just Ten Hag, is it? It's Ashworth, Berarda, it's Wilcox, it's this whole crew that came in the summer and bought a lot of players. And if you sack Ten Hag, what does that crew do? Because they're part of that as well. And also, the manager market's no different to the decision they made in May. So I think if you had a really good manager candidate available, you might get a different answer. But I think they are going to stick with this until... Man United never sacked a manager before November as well. So the next international break could be the one when you look at United's next few games, which, as you've mentioned, are Brentford, West Ham away, Chelsea at home, Leicester at home. Three home games out of the next four. You'd be saying, they're the sort of games that sack
We need to go back because we had this conversation from September and I can't remember what we said was the mean score, but I don't think he matched the average.
No.
But then also it just feels...
But the season's not finished, but it feels like it's finished because I think a lot of United fans just were like, oh, we need to change. But I don't like change for change's sake.
It's almost like I feel now after last week that Ineos want to keep Ten Hag, but Ten Hag's almost doing his hardest to sort of get rid of himself and get out of the job, just in terms of like the performances.
I genuinely thought that against Villa,
especially with the team sheet going into that. But then everything's just a contradiction this year, isn't it? Because like in the end, we said about Maguire and Evans coming on in that game against Porto, saving them, and then he started them and they played well in that game. Just Man United, it just feels like an absolute cluster.
Fisk says, what is your guys' Premier League best 11 at the moment? We can give a go of that in a few minutes' time. We can make a Fisk of it and see what happens with that. But look, we'll see what happens with Manchester United. I think that they've got to beat Brentford on Saturday, and if they don't, then, you know...
Surely Thomas Tuchel is an upgrade.
No.
No?
Not for me.
Not on Erik ten Hag?
I don't think that's the conversation, though, is it?
That's the question I'm asking.
But if we're going to be an intellectual podcast and not just be, hi, Paul Merson, you're live on Sky, what should Man United do? I'll get Gary Neville in charge of transfers, which he did actually say. I saw the clip. Is Thomas Tuchel a better coach than Erik ten Hag? He's won the bloody Champions League. Of course he is. But replacing him with ten Hag at Man United, to me, isn't an upgrade just because he might be a slightly better coach, because he's got red flags all over him. He's like a beach with bad waves. You don't go in the water. Problematic. The PR around him is ridiculous. You know, he gets linked to where he was having talks with England on Saturday because his bloody agent said so. He falls out with every club. He's been sacked a lot. There's players at that club that he didn't want, like De Ligt. So
you know what, that all those things, it absolutely sounds perfect for Manchester United where they're at right now.
Look, I can understand why people want to make a change, but I think if you're going to make a change, you've got to go for better than Thomas Tuchel. I would be going for somebody that's actually proper long-term. Because the thing I would always agree with Ineos is that that's not their guy, is it? That's not their guy. Niall's trying to blind us there. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. But what I would say is that Brentford becomes another cup final for Man United.
And it goes back to that feeling, again, that I've said on multiple episodes, that when Thomas Frank comes to town with that Brentford team, they're going to be better coached, have a better formation, have a better system and have a better plan than Erik ten Hag will do on his own turf.
It's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting game. Go on.
Man United, just if we are doing Premier League report, what grade would you give them?
Oh, I like that. I'd say you've got to give them a D. I don't think it's as bad. I mean, many people are going F off. Look, we beat Fulham, got a draw at Palace, which is a tough place to go. Smashed Southampton, but Liverpool loss, obviously Southampton loss. A draw at Villa's not a bad result either. Lost to Brighton, a bit unlucky. I'd give them an F. A D. I'll give them a D.
F is failure.
Yeah.
And it's not been complete failure. It's definitely bordering on that, isn't it? So yeah. I'd go for a D minus.
There we go. Let's talk about Liverpool, because it's definitely an A star start. Maybe not an A star. They did lose to Forest, didn't they? So
A minus.
But look, they're up there. They're top of the league, Liverpool. What are your thoughts on Liverpool, everybody listening? Are they genuine title contenders? Well, I'll tell you what, maybe hold that thought, because it's Chelsea and then Arsenal for them. Chelsea at Anfield on Sunday. The following weekend, Arsenal at the Emirates. There'll be a lot of people talking about this, Will, but what is your thought on a points tally out of those six, and what sort of keeps them in that title race? Because I think as long as they don't lose one, even two draws against those two teams who are very in form at the moment would not be a bad return for Liverpool. 4 points, yabba dabba do.
Yeah, I think we said as well, like, the best thing that could have happened to them for Arne Slot coming into this league was that Nottingham Forest defeat, wasn't it? Because those are where the titles can get win and lost, where, you know, Liverpool are playing Man City, Liverpool play Arsenal, they're going to take points off each other, especially with where Man City are at this season. But when you're playing Nottingham Forest, that's when you need your players to turn up. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen that day. But I think the week after, the performance against Bournemouth was absolutely scintillating. So they just need to keep winning those games. It's my big worry with Arsenal. We'll come on to them in a bit. But I could see the way Liverpool dispatched the Manchester United and Tottenham as well.
They played Tottenham.
Who did they beat? Who was the other big side that they beat?
Liverpool. They haven't played anyone big.
Man United.
Yeah.
But the way he has done that...
Making up bloody games, yeah.
The way they beat Tottenham 6-0. No, the way he's just come into the Premier League...
Son got sent off for two-footing Salah.
The way he's come into the Premier League, I just think is... I really think it's just highlighted how hard it is to transition, but the way he's done it is so well.
Well, Don Snaps makes a great point. They'll get found out like Ange, and that's why I think it's a big couple of games for Liverpool, because Arsenal are not title holders and they've not won a title, but the work they've done over the last 2 years to go, you know, on Man City's tail coattails has been fantastic. So they're at the Emirates, they're going to be a very, very difficult game. Chelsea at Anfield, I'd expect Liverpool to win that because I don't think Chelsea would expect to be at the point where they're going to Anfield and winning under the Maresca, new revolution. But if they did go there and win, that would be a real hammer blow for Liverpool. So I think it is two games for Liverpool where we'll find out just how real their credentials are. But I think that...
Also, Alisson as well. How long is he out for? Because Kelleher dropped a doozy in the international game of the week. That's such a big thing going into those games where
I think traditionally he's a bit like Rodri when they don't have Alisson. That I think they do. Well, maybe they don't, but I get the feeling that mistakes start happening when Alisson's not around.
And if Arsenal get an Odegaard back, to be fair,
won't. He's not back till December now. Apparently,
lazy. Chelsea, because. I think we're going to come on to it as well. When they've been cooking, it feels like they have been, from an outsider perspective, some of the best football in the Premier League this season when it is going right.
Yeah, I disagree. I think Chelsea are quite well organised under Maresca and they're very much a possession-based team. But I think most games I've seen Chelsea, it's come down to the brilliance of Cole Palmer or I hasten to use the word brilliance and the word, what's his name up front? Nicholas Jackson.
To be fair.
Even at West Ham, I thought he was brilliant in that game in what was quite an equal game, but they were just very clinical. And I think that's the thing about Chelsea. Organisation, possession and clinical, they've been very, very good, which might suit them away at Anfield because that's what you want to do. You don't want to concede goals. You want to have a bit of the ball. And when you get your chances, you want to take them. And I think that's why Chelsea are climbing the league at the moment. But
Liverpool perspective, the Dugout Football Channel's just got in touch. He's a member. Thank you for that. He says, happy to be top at the moment, but the next run of games of Chelsea, Leipzig, Arsenal, Brighton twice, Leverkusen, Southampton, Real Madrid and City. We'll say where we're at.
Yeah. Big run of fixtures for Liverpool.
We started off with a mini run. That is absolutely... So their season will probably be defined by Christmas?
Yeah.
When are we starting? Who will be top at Christmas?
Who'll be top at Christmas?
From November? Yeah. November the 1st?
Yeah, I enjoyed that last year and I got it wrong.
Who did I say? I think we both got it wrong, didn't we?
Yeah, I think I said Liverpool.
I think it was Liverpool.
Arsenal top, weren't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, because those games, that was right before Christmas, wasn't it? That's what's been nice about this season as well. The fixtures, hopefully, with the way that they've redone the Carabao Cup, we should have a build-up of games as well, so everything's nice and even.
What would you give Chelsea as a report this season so far?
Well, I think you have to look back from where we've come, and at the start of the season, going into that Man City game and then losing to Manchester City, we were like, this is exactly what we predicted. But the way he's turned it round, the way he's managed that squad, I'd give him a B-.
Yeah, I think I certainly think a B. I'd probably give him a B because you'd expect them to lose to Man City, and they actually... I don't think they should have lost that game to Man City. I just don't think they believed. I think I gave them a bit of a pouting actually and said they didn't really believe they could get a result. I think they've got points like Bournemouth, 3 points there where they probably shouldn't have got 3 points, but I'm always a big fan of that when you get points where you've had to not necessarily play badly, but grind them out a little bit. They seem to have a little bit more steel to them this year. And Cole Palmer, I don't want to make it all about him, but his goal scoring ability is just incredible. I mean, he's almost becoming their Matt Letizia.
Well, yeah.
Not making controversial tweets about Flat Earth and all that, but I mean, when he was at Southampton, he's like the talisman player. How do you shut a talisman down?
Yeah. Take his Twitter from him.
Yeah.
Do you think they need to get Champions League football to keep him?
Well, I was going to ask you this, or you could ask me, or we could ask them. Who's your top four at the moment? Because I would say my top four for May now would be the top four as it is. I'd say Man City win the league, Arsenal second, Liverpool third, Chelsea fourth.
Yeah.
Of course, it's very early. Liverpool got a difficult run. Maybe they will be this year's Spurs. Chelsea have got a soft underbelly, potentially.
Well, they've got Liverpool away, then they've got Newcastle at home, then they've got Newcastle in the League Cup. And then, so Chelsea's next game's Liverpool away, Newcastle at home, Man United away.
Tough place to go, that, Man United away.
Arsenal away.
Yeah. So they've got those three out of four.
Leicester away.
Yeah, I think Chelsea could fall off, but at the moment, I just think they look like the best. I mean, look, Spurs are Spurs. Villa have got Europe.
When's that international?
I've spoken to a lot of Spurs Villa fans over the international break, actually. I was in the old Contemptibles on Thursday night in Birmingham.
Nice, yeah. Is that the one with the high ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely pub. And a few Villa fans in there I was talking to. And
they were saying, why were you at St Andrews for the game against Wrexham?
They were saying, oh, what did you think about the 0-0 game between Man United and Villa? I said, well, I was very happy because I thought it was a missed opportunity. But obviously their midfield was a bit short with no Onana in there or McGinn. So I think Villa have got the capability of getting fourth. I'd tell you what, I'd bloody love it if Man United could get in there, but I'd say Chelsea take fourth at the moment.
Yeah, but the other week you were, I know, what do you mean, love it based on you think they can do it?
Not at the moment.
No, I was going to say, because you were sandbagging the other day and then...
Dreams can come true.
Some can, I don't think that one will. Robert McCormack says, is Palmer carrying Chelsea alone?
Well, I think he is. I think Cole Palmer is carrying Chelsea alone. I think if you took, I would confidently say that if you took Cole Palmer out of Chelsea last season and this, they'd struggle. He proved it last year. They were almost a one-man team last year. And then this year, I mean, he's bloody scored four goals in one game, hasn't he? So I'm not taking away the great work of the midfield or defensively they're better organised, or more importantly, I think Maresca deserves a lot of credit. But Cole Palmer has fast become for Chelsea what Mo Salah has become for Liverpool or Saka has become for Arsenal. I'd say that's basically what Cole Palmer has become in 12 months. Can Chelsea function without Cole Palmer? Well, yes, they can. Will they be a worse team without him? Yes, they will.
Yeah, but and I think we spoke about the way they've done their European squad as well. Like, I think that's absolutely perfect because they know, it feels this year, the way it's happened, there's a top three and then there's a clear spot for fourth, which they can grab. Will it be Cole Palmer all year? I think they can get the fourth position just because Villa have started so well in the Champions League as well, haven't they? Like, 2 out of 2, beating Bayern at home. But just, you know, 8 group games as well. Like, it's going to take its toll. When we get to Christmas time, maybe it's not who will be top at Christmas. Hopefully it's that, and then it'll be who'll be in the top four.
Well, I've said it before. I think the race for fourth is probably going to be the more... Well, hopefully not. I hope the title race can be good. I hope the relegation battle can be good.
With Rodri out and the way City have been performing, it just... And we'll come on to Man City next, but one thing I wanted to chat about...
Fulham needed to beat them before the break.
A draw at home would have been good.
Not enough focus was put on that. Like, Fulham, I watched that back and... They should have got something out of that game, Fulham. And we sort of just go, well, it's Man City. But realistically, we're trying to save football, aren't we? And we don't want Man City to just run away with it. But I'm not changing my prediction that they will, regardless of Rodri's injury. But Fulham should have got something there. And that's the same. I remember that with Man United. Even on a bad day, there was something about your aura that gets you wins in those games. The amount of times, actually, at Old Trafford, we'd have a bad game under Sir Alex, but we'd still find a way. And that's the thing that Man City did against Fulham. And they need to... They're a bit weak at the moment, but they'll adjust to life without Rodri. And then when they do, and they're still up there, that's going to make them very, very difficult to topple. But look, I think the race for top four will be very interesting. Although, one prediction, I think it will be a top five this year. Because
of the confession.
Yeah, because we completely dropped the ball on that last year. We all assumed it was going to be a top five. True, yeah. And then because we didn't do it, people are now going top four. But, I mean, that was just a ridiculous turn of events. Like, Liverpool should have done better. Man United should have done better. Well, Newcastle should have done better. Yeah. Newcastle and Man United got knocked out in the group stage.
Yeah.
Liverpool didn't get to the final for Klopp. Man City did crap in the Champions League. Arsenal did crap in the Champions League. Villa, you thought, would have won the Conference League. So I can't see English teams doing that bad in Europe this year. So I think it might be a top five, which even then that would be interesting because you've still got to be Spurs or Newcastle or Man United. I keep throwing them in, but, you know.
I think you're clutching at straws. I think especially with the way it's been done, like, you'd think all four of those teams would get out of the league stage, wouldn't you, to the next round? So,
yeah.
And thank you very much for your super chats. Colin says, bought your book, listened to the entire thing doing yard work. Other than the Liverpool slagging off, it was a beautiful book. Made me love football even more. Thanks, Mark. Oh, is he saying thanks, Mark? I thought his name was Mark and then...
No, I think he's saying thanks for the book, Mark, and your contribution to his yard work.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Yeah, go and buy the book. It's a great read, according to Collins.
Trezor says, who's the most underrated team of the Premier League so far? He says Forest. They have a great coach.
Well, I think that's a great question.
Brentford or Fulham as well.
Fulham, yeah.
Yeah, you go Fulham.
I was going to say Crystal Palace, but they've probably been the worst team. I'd say Fulham just because of, I think I was the first to say it, like Fulham are a proper Premier League team.
So I'm not going down this road. I obviously do think Fulham are the quintessential Premier League side and have said that considerably longer than anybody else. And I've actually got a trademark in at the moment so that when Lineker tries it on, or Neville or Will, I will run in and go, contractually, you've got to say Goldbridge said this for 12 months. But is there a case to say it's Brentford? Because Brentford actually went to Anfield and the Etihad, played very well and lost both, which you'd expect. And yet they're still, I believe, around mid-table. They've scored in the first 2 minutes of four games. I think Brentford deserve a massive shout-out, especially post-Ivan Toney, who a lot of people, talking about Cole Palmer at Chelsea, I think I included, would like to say sorry to Thomas Frank, because I genuinely was under the impression that they're a well-organised side, but Ivan Toney's brilliance was sort of, you take that away, they're going to struggle, and they really haven't. So I think Brentford has to be in there as well. I would be happy to say Fulham, though, because I think they look like a proper side. And of course, Man United beat them.
Yeah, and that makes it even tougher for them. I think, yeah, Marco Silva's a funny one, isn't it? Because he started so well, then had that job where he went to, what are you saying? Yeah, a little giggle.
No, there's just David James saying, I support Man City and Wrexham, and we all know what that is. I mean, just what would you describe a football fan who supports Man City and Wrexham as?
Be like a wrestling fan that says...
A runt with C and an R.
Wow.
That is harsh.
Anyway, thanks.
That was not me. That was
thanks for your donation.
That was Robert McCormack again. Didn't make a contribution.
Manchester City and Wrexham. Yeah, that would be.
Could have said Birmingham. Now
that's like, no, don't be silly. That's like saying your favourite food's caviar and oysters, really, isn't it?
No,
it is.
No, there's nothing wrong with that in caviar and oysters. What?
Yeah, but if you're not
picking them because they're posh, it's picking them because you like the taste.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but
he's picking them
doing
because
well.
I don't walk in and go, I'm doing well, get me some oysters.
You would be the type to
I am
that.
Doing well and I don't like oysters.
Yeah.
I'd go, just get me a prawn cocktail. I had that.
The crisps. Yeah. Not even the thing.
Just the crisps.
Well, I support Man City and Wrexham.
You can't tell you what, you can't beat a proper good prawn cocktail. Big prawns, proper Mary Rose sauce, good lettuce.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that right? Beef let you down a bit yesterday, didn't it? On Sunday, it's Sunday roast season.
I had an 8-star Sunday roast yesterday. I was out at the Forest in Dorwich. It was absolutely fantastic. Everything was great, but with beef.
You've got beef with the Forest.
I've got beef. It was a nice beef, but it was just, beef's tough, isn't it?
Beef is, the of all the meats, it's on the edge of really, it's either really good or bad. You don't just get a beef that's...
You remember a good beef.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You remember a good beef.
No,
a good lamb.
It, nice and
because that's why chicken is probably the safest option. Because you don't. But then you never have. I've never gone, oh, that chicken I had. Whereas pork, lamb, beef. Bench start sell, beef, pork, lamb.
He's loving it. He's getting pork. I think pork with a good stuffing is apps, and a red cabbage is elite with a good gravy. Mm. I think if the beef's good, it's elite. Roast. I love chicken, but actually, I'd bin chicken.
Chicken
on a roast.
Wasn't in.
What was there?
Pork, lamb.
Oh,
beef.
Lamb can piss off.
Really?
I literally had this chat yesterday.
Really?
Lamb can do one.
Lamb would be starting.
Get rid of lamb.
I'd start lamb.
Salty.
Mint sauce, yeah.
Sheep kid killer.
Sounds like the name of your next book.
Yeah.
No, I'd go start lamb, bench pork, sell beef.
I'd go start pork, bench beef, sell lamb.
Lovely stuff. It's an international break. Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
It is an international break, but it's still important. And we've just offended vegetarians. Apparently a nut roast is nice if you add loads of condiments to take the taste away.
Apparently a nut roast is nice if you add a slab of pork to it.
Yeah. Oh, God, you can't do that. Even what? I wouldn't say that. Don't upset them lot.
What's wrong with them? I tried vegan for 2-3 days. It's the most gassy I've ever been. I was like dropping farts left, right and centre.
Enough of the food talk. Let's get back to the real menu, which is the Premier League report so far.
Manchester City.
It's been an interesting week with Manchester City.
Yeah,
I did a video on Pep, which did very well for an international break.
Can I shock you? I watched it and agreed with you.
Yeah.
Which is something that I don't often do.
Well, it was, you know what, Will? It was one of those things where I just woke up and I thought, I'm going to do a video on Pep because I actually think this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do a video and I'm like, I sort of think this. Mm. But with the Pep thing, I was just like, hold on a minute. Yeah. He's leaving. It's so obvious he's leaving. And I put the video out there partly because I believe in it and partly because I want to know what the comments think. And there's a lot of people going, oh, he's definitely not leaving. He's definitely leaving. And I was just like, for me, it's just so obvious. There's just so many key indicators that he's going. I mean, I've even heard people this morning talking about Haaland going, which I think the only way Haaland goes is if they get found guilty. He will stay for another year or two. But I think Pep goes no matter what.
Yeah. The biggest point I took from that was that you said he's not signed a new deal. So if they're to keep him, he's going to have to sign a new deal. And that's not going to be for another year, is it? That's going to be a 2-3 year deal.
Which is a long commitment.
Which is a long commitment. And I just can't see him doing it. I think with Klopp leaving, I just think that probably brings it into his focus. He has won the Champions League. He could win another. But like, he's probably so convinced of his job and what Manchester City have done that the constant mudslinging at him and the Man City stuff, he's probably just broken down and tired. Like, I also
he's never going to get the credibility, is he? Because he even with his own fans, he detects like at
but
times.
The one with Man City is, I feel like I lived in Manchester for what 6-7 years, absolutely loved it, and it's like a 50-50 split. Like, there's so many Manchester City fans in Manchester, and there's so many Manchester City fans that either go every week or want to go a lot more. But since we're in the Etihad, like, you know, you see on Champions League nights when they pan to the areas where like the tickets are up for grabs sometimes, or people have sold them. Like, it's just full of tourists.
It's a hard stadium to get
It's a hard stadium to get an atmosphere because it wasn't an athletic stadium, wasn't it?
And it's empty most of the time.
And that's the big thing. It's not empty. And like they should be really a success story of like league, you know, for what Birmingham want to do or what other teams want to do. But obviously, there's so many questions that haven't been answered. I just think
if you're Pep Guardiola, why would you carry on? Like you say,
what's the next job for
he's
him?
He's got to sign for 2 or 3 years, which is a big commitment. If they obviously the case, which we've not mentioned, is a big factor. But even if they beat the case and he wins the title again, what's he going to do in the next 2 or 3 years? It's just the same old, same old.
He could go somewhere else.
I also think things might get more difficult for Man City if they get off, because it depends how you get off. I mean, even I'm saying get off. Do people think they get off on a technicality? Do people really just suddenly go, you know what? We've been calling Man City cheats for 10 years and actually, I don't think they were. I think they are one of the best things that have ever happened to football. And we love Pep Guardiola. Maybe he'd stay then, but I don't think that scenario happens really.
No.
But I still think they'll win the league this year. I think in relation to the start of the season that they've had, bit lackluster actually. Not at their best, but they've still managed to get enough points. I don't think they were great against Arsenal, even though Arsenal played with 10 men. Obviously, they got that late equaliser. Weren't great against Fulham, weren't great against Brentford. Weren't great against Inter. Yes, they've lost Rodri, but I think the whole team just seems to have a bit of a malaise around it at the moment.
Well, and also, like, if you are spending that money, like, you know, we used to say spending 50 million for 2 left-backs, like, if Rodri's out, for me, we were speaking the other week of going like, oh, if Arsenal win it this year, is there a bit of an asterisk? And it's like, not at all, because Manchester City have built a squad that we've spoken about for years of like it being this juggernaut and you can't get near it. So if one person's out, that shouldn't be the cards that fall over. You should be more than robust enough to go out and win another Premier League as a minimum with the squad that they've got. So this year, that Fulham result, I know you said they should have got more from it, but I thought it showed so many chinks in their armour that could be like, here we go.
I also think as well that people like Phil Foden haven't got going yet. De Bruyne has not got going yet. They will get going. This is why Man City need to drop points now, and this is why Man City will win the league, because they know how to do it after Christmas and they will just rev up. So I still think they'll win the league, but I would say Man City so far have probably been a bit of a B minus, I would say, for them by their high standards so far. Yeah. But it's not unusual. This is not unusual for them to start the season like this, because it really is about putting points on the board and building the momentum to the second half of the season, where really they probably, them and Man City, would be the two for the Champions League, wouldn't they?
Yeah. If Pep is the go, what job would you like love to see him do?
Well, he ain't going to do the England job.
No, I mean, that's fanciful. No, but like, what, you know, just a bit of fantasy thinking, like, what job would you love to see him at?
President of the United States.
No. I just saw another football job. We got David James in here. Maybe
you know where I would like him to go? Italy.
Bring Juventus back.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do a job that's actually difficult.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Barcelona was difficult. He did an amazing job, but I don't think it was difficult. I don't think Bayern Munich's difficult. And I don't think Man City's difficult when they've already won a Premier League with a different manager to take them on and win it. He's done brilliant at Man City and Barcelona. There's no doubt about that. But I would like to see him take a job where it's a more level playing field. I wouldn't want him to go to Juventus and you've got an open checkbook. I'd like him to go to Juventus and I think he's good enough to take a team that's a sleeping giant in a level playing field and take it to being the best.
Yeah, like when Mourinho was at Inter and that side that he built with Milito up front and him doing that, I just like to see the England stuff, just to touch on that briefly. Like, Roy Keane came out and said, go and get Pep. Like, you think the care, attention, time, effort that Pep is on the training field every single
that's
day.
The problem, yeah.
Like, he's not going to, he might accept the Spain job, but then I don't know if everything ties in with that. But there's no way he's taking the England job.
He's too granular as a coach.
I wouldn't waste time on it.
I'd love him to be the England manager.
I go, do you want to do the England job? No, there's no point putting time and effort into it.
Yeah. I'd love him to be the England manager, but I absolutely agree that he is absolutely obsessive and granular in his approach to football. That how do you work with players every 3 months to do that? I think it would be a problem for him. And therefore, no, I don't think he would take it. I mean, one thing from the international break that I would say is that... thankfully, that Greece result, which I didn't watch, happened, because I think it's destroyed the FA's typical go-to solution of actually recruiting from within and being lazy about it. They've got to recruit externally now, which means they've got to do their bloody job for once.
Just feels, obviously we speak about it with Man United, the manager market is just bereft of... But then...
Well, do you want an Englishman?
I'm not bothered about that.
I'm not either.
I want the best man, I think. But then
Thomas Tuchel might be quite good for that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I think you just... You know, the thing with Carsley...
International management's not club management, though.
No.
Funnily enough. No. But it's a job that you take where... Ericsson loved it, didn't he? You know, you do a little bit of it, but then you're always watching it and...
Just go shag around.
Rest in peace. But he had a good time doing it and the football as well. I think they're probably going to go for Potter, aren't they?
Potter. No, I think with Carsley, I don't know what he was doing on Thursday. That was an absolute mess. Let's just pick up on a few things before we go through the best of the rest stuff. Liverpool, I wanted to touch on. Obviously, the big thing is three contracts coming up for grabs. Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Starting from three, working down to one, who would you most want to sign if you were a Liverpool fan? Like, who would you say, get that contract done first? He's the most important player.
I think it has to be Trent because of age. I think he's got to be the biggest one. I mean, he's not the best out of the three, but I think you've got to look at age and Trent being youngest. If you can get him on a 5-year contract, you've just secured a player that's going to get better, who is already, probably the best in the world in his position. Second one, I would say Salah, because replacing that experience and goals is going to be a big, big issue. And then third one would be Van Dijk. But you probably get a different answer out of Liverpool fans for it, but yeah, I'd go Trent, Salah and Van Dijk, and I am using age and goals as the thing, because goals win games, Will.
Yeah, no, I'd probably swap Salah and Van Dijk around just based on age and sort of
leadership, maybe.
Leadership, the way sort of Van Dijk has revolutionised that back four, not just for Liverpool but maybe some teams in the Premier League.
But they've got some good centre-backs coming through. Kwanzaa.
But if he's not been sold, destroyed from Arne Slot from the first game.
Yeah, Kwanzaa, Kanate. They've got somebody else at centre-back, haven't they?
I was reading an article that Reece Williams is... You remember, because he came into the side from when all the injuries, but he's back on loan. Maybe at Morecambe or Stevenage.
I think Salah's going to be problematic to replace.
Salah is going to be... Yeah, Salah would be the one if you were taking age and everything out of it, just because, like we said, until he's gone, we won't know what we've got.
I think all three will go.
This summer.
Mm. Well, I think Trent's going to go.
It's strange. The Trent one is...
Because they're going to go with that Bradley, aren't they, at right back? Captain Northern Ireland.
But even just to leave a player into your contract into that just seems silly. And the other one was Arsenal, just because we've mentioned Rodri and it feels a bit...
Who's more likely to go, Salah from Liverpool or Pep from Man City?
Salah. I think both are gone. Well, the way Salah did that post-match interview at Manchester United, and people sort of read one way or the other, but for me... I just feel like he's going, and Pep, yeah, everything.
Well, it makes sense for Salah to go to Saudi as well, doesn't it? Because he's, I think he's...
Get your money while you're at that age.
And I think that part of the world for him, it's not like it's a chore to go there, is it? I'm sure people mentioned that in last summer, so maybe, well, they probably go to the MLS now, but, you know.
Yeah, well, he's a great talent, and it would just be sad when he's gone, because we won't know what we've got until he's gone. Arsenal, if Manchester City win the Premier League, does that put Arteta under pressure?
No, I don't think so, because I think we're living in a juggernaut society with Manchester City, and I think that they're very difficult to derail, which is why they've won the title so many times. I think the important thing for Arsenal is sustainability and consistency, which they've shown, and I think if you took Man City out of the league, then Arsenal would win the league. So, but how many times do you be the bridesmaid and not the bride? I think that's sometimes a frustration. I would hope that Arteta doesn't start to get sort of tarnished if they don't win the league again as, oh, he's not good enough. Because I think, again, a little bit like if you replace him, you might see the job he's done there to put Arsenal in that situation. I mean, it's not a joke, the points tally, and it's not a joke, the consistency they've shown. But I understand why people might start going, oh, you know, he can't win the title. But you are up against Man City. Their squad is immense. I mean, they've just lost their best player for the whole season, and I still think they'll win the league.
Yeah,
That does say it all.
Final one from us. We're doing a slightly shorter show today. Actually, final two. Well, we saw player of the season
so far,
Cole Palmer.
Yeah, hard to make a case for anybody else.
I mean, Saka would be up there for me. John Duran?
Duran. Yeah, he's done well.
Think of what he's done with limited time.
Yeah. It's got to be Cole Palmer, though.
It has got to be Cole Palmer.
You're stretching around. It's got to be Cole Palmer.
To get a hat-trick of assists, then score four goals, and he's not only making highlights, he's like stealing the show. So
yeah,
I think he's been... It's just so exciting for England as well to just...
I do feel that the Cole Palmer thing has been a bit overhyped, and I do feel that it has become a little bit relentless, but it is justified. In a lot of the sense that he has had an amazing start to the season, and it's a little bit like when Haaland... Haaland was on a hat-trick of hat-tricks at wasn't he? So Haaland's had a good start to the season, but when he first came in to the league and he was scoring all those goals, it was incredible. So you've got to be even-handed, and Cole Palmer's had a fantastic start to the season.
People in the chat saying Gravenberch.
Yeah, I like those sort of things, but...
Unfortunately for him, it's just a not sexy position, is it? The one that he's absolutely excelling in, so we have to take that bias away.
But what Cole Palmer has done, like you say, with the assists and the goals, it is incredible, and that's not taking anything away from any other candidate, but he has an inner Chelsea side as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the final one that you brought to the table today, Mark, is Ollie Watkins or Harry Kane?
Flop of the season as well. But I'm saying this is not a signing, because I think it's too early in the season to do flop of the season, because people will start throwing in names like Bloody Agate and stuff like that. It's too early. You know, you mentioned Gravenberch. He started off at Liverpool quite below par.
Yeah.
It takes time for these players to adjust. Look at Chiesa at Liverpool. He might be a brilliant player in the second half of the season. So I'm not saying the flop of the season so far is a new signing. It could be. But for me, I would say... And obviously, I'm very biased here. I would say someone like Bruno Fernandes has been flop of the season so far. New contract at Man United. Didn't really need to give him one, but got a new contract under the new ownership. Reportedly, it's massive. Could be 300k a week. And he's just not delivering in a position where Cole Palmer is delivering or Odegaard would deliver. He has not had a very good start to the season. Somebody in the chat just said Phil Foden. I think... Fair.
Yeah.
It is a good shout, but he's not being picked, is he? But Bruno's meant to be the focal team, and I think he's capable. This is the thing. This comes from a Man United fan who actually has been frustrated with Bruno for quite a while, who is capable, but he is not delivering. So I would say he would have to be considered a player that you would really expect to be delivering this season, and he isn't.
Yeah, and it just feels it's the same in Manchester City every time of like... There has to be like one or two of those star players that always just dip under, you know, with Grealish, he was up there and then he's down here. Foden's always up and down. Like, for some reason, I don't know if it's the system or the way Pep manages, there's always a casualty from that system, isn't there?
Maybe he does it on purpose.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he sort of manipulates a player to have a bit of a drop so that when they bounce back, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Foden will bounce back, won't he? You were saying something about Watkins.
Watkins or Kane. Has this come about from an England perspective? I mean, if you're Ollie Watkins Thursday night, you see the team sheet that Carsley puts up and you think...
Sack him.
Is this guy just trying to play Football Manager?
I think England have this abundance of... look, we saw, was it... I can't do the list. We started Gordon, Saka, Foden, Palmer and...
Bellingham.
I mean, that is just incredible. It's never going to work. Ollie Watkins should have started. But I also think if you've got all those creatives, Harry Kane dropping into the midfield, we saw it in the Euros. You have to play to your... Well, you have to play systematic football.
That's what Spain did, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, that was a team...
Morata was up front.
Yeah, a formula. They had Williams and Yamal on the wing. They had the midfielders. They played the best team that they could. They played the best plan that they could. And England, I don't know. Carsley, I don't know if... He just feels, with everything he's saying, just, I don't know if he actually wants the job.
Apparently he has said he doesn't want it now.
Well, he was saying, he's sort of like, oh, I'll probably be back to the 21s then. It just feels like one of them people that...
Hopefully,
like,
I'll go back to the 21s.
Oh, that's me, the 21s then, is it?
Hopefully.
Is it? Oh, I don't know.
No, I think that if I was picking an England team at the moment, we desperately do need, with that creativity, a striker that can play on the last man and run in behind. And Harry Kane is a better striker than Ollie Watkins. No one's going to deny that. But it's a system thing, isn't it? We have got an abundance of creatives. You need a striker who is going to run in behind, play on the last man, run the channels. And Ollie Watkins, on form, is way better. But we're England. So if you did that, most of our press just don't know their arse from their elbow and would go, why is Harry Kane not playing? He's our all-time goal scorer. Because they don't understand that the reason we don't win things is because we're always, and always have been, trying to shoehorn everybody in, which is what we did on Thursday. And it's what we did with Scholes, Lampard and Gerrard. Kane shouldn't be in that team for me. I don't care how many goals he scored.
That's why Southgate was so great, wasn't it? Just because he really created a sort of great culture where he created a team and
he didn't pick favourites, no.
He didn't pick favourites.
Yeah, bollocks. Anyway, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you feeling all right?
No, still not feeling great.
Yeah, it's that beef. That's why it's got to be sold for me. We are doing an extra 15 minutes, which will be going on Spotify.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to this. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're giving us a listen on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, well done. You're about to get an extra 10, 15 minutes each week now where we answer your questions. So thanks everyone for watching on YouTube. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe as always. Plenty of content coming up for you this week. And if you're on Spotify... listen on.
Hello, everybody from Spotify. This is your extra 15-minute X-rated down and dirty chat where we answer your questions that you've sent over.
I don't think it's X-rated.
It can be if you want it to be.
I was not told it was X-rated.
Well,
but, yeah,
we're both sat here naked, so that's your first picture in your head. But
Definitely not.
The first question has come from Jack. He says, hi, Will and Mark.
If we were naked, I'd be bloody freezing because I'm freezing anyway.
Yeah. We'd have a couple of innies.
What are they?
Your penis has gone inside
What's your obsession with making this X-rated? It's a football chat. You're turning me off.
Turning you on? Sorry. Well, what is your favourite footballing moment? Mine is waking up and my nan telling me Liverpool have scored 4 goals to go through to the Champions League final.
Why would you be excited by that?
What do you mean?
Oh, his is that? Yeah. I thought he meant yours is. You
no, didn't it's not mine.
Get a job in EastEnders. I was like, what? They will. They've scored 4 goals in the final. won it.
Surely you've got a better one than that, Jack, as well. Like,
does he not mean they won it?
Well, it says waking up and his nan telling him Liverpool. Surely your best football moment is something that you've lived personally, not your nan telling you vicariously through. Anyway, this is the first question. So,
if they won the Champions League, it might be quite nice.
It says through to the Champions League final.
Oh, okay.
I just think, Jack, surely you've got a better footballing memory yourself. You might have a great relationship with your nan, but like maybe she's...
I've had so many. I mean, look, I've played at some of the biggest grounds in England. I've won major trophies in my FIFA career mode. Sabutio as well. Living room football, I've scored some pearlers. Back garden as well. I've won trophies as a player. I've played the game. But I still don't think there's anything better than the Teddy Sheringham equaliser in 99 in Barry Reid's house in Dublin town. Yeah. Thinking it was gone, the dream, the treble that we'd all been building towards, thinking it's just disintegrating and sort of thinking, well, life's not meant to be like this. This is not meant to not, we're not meant to not do this. When will we ever do it if we don't do it now? And then obviously people will go, well, Solskjaer, yeah, that was great. But people don't realise if you didn't live it, is that that equaliser gave you hope. Mm. And that was it.
It was slipping through your fingers, isn't it? Mine is obviously Blues winning the Carling Cup 2011, and I won £700 on a bet that day, and I got it in a brown envelope in cash from William Hill, and I thought, this doesn't get any better. I didn't go to the game. Best moment going to a game, probably when Blues got promoted, Seb Larson scored a goal that was like gigs against Arsenal. This was against Sheffield Wednesday. Thank you for your... What's your favourite? Make your own memories, Jack. That's what I'd say. Martin Barkley says, enjoy the podcast as a Liverpool fan, more than my usual Liverpool podcasts. My question is, do you think Liverpool are a bit too nice and maybe that's why we've lost a few more finals than we should have?
Not being a Liverpool fan and not really being a real scrutiniser of the finals because I just want you to lose. I don't know what games you'd be talking about being too nice in finals, Liverpool.
Yeah, and especially that one with Jurgen Klopp where I was at the last Carabao Cup final and it didn't feel like they were nice then. It actually felt like they used the fans and played a bit of like, you know, they had the youth team out effectively, didn't they, going into that? So I don't
get the point of the question there. No. Liverpool being nice.
Luke Coleman's says, what would be the score if Birmingham faced Manchester United right now? So let's say it's at St Andrews. Birmingham, you've seen them in the flesh.
Such a crap question.
What?
Because how the hell do I know? I don't know what the ref's going to do.
Well,
I don't
know what the standard's going to be. It's a full question.
Well, Man United wins.
Say we get you in the FA Cup, which could happen, third round. It's at St Andrews. You've seen Blues. You've seen enough for United. What do you think the score would be?
I think United play absolutely shit and Birmingham scrape a 1-0 because they're capable of scoring, or United probably win 3-0.
I think at our best and your best, I think it would be 1-1. And I genuinely do believe that, especially with Paikin and Watter in the field.
Yeah, how'd it go against Charlton?
Oh, Charlton now, aren't we? Oh, we're going down there. Oh, Charlton this, Charlton that. Charlton, no. Antonio Mora, great name, says, hi, Mark and Will. Start bench Shell, Watkins, Isak, Tony.
Sell Tony. Bench Isak, start Watkins. They're all out of, well, one's injured, one's in Saudi, and one's out of form.
Yeah.
So it's a good question, but I would go that, yeah.
Do you want another football one or a non-football one?
Football.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good non-football one as well. Thanks for making these, Mark. Question for you, what's your earliest football memory? Watching the World Cup, maybe? Or what? That's how it finishes.
Or maybe buy the book because it's in there.
Yeah.
Goldbridge, according to football.
Should just call it Goldbridge Chase Football.
Goldbridge, yeah. Football according to Goldbridge. Number one bestseller. Check that out.
Beat Katie Price.
Yeah, beat Katie Price. But my first footballing memory would... I think it actually has to be the World Cup, walking in, family watching England against Argentina. I vaguely remember that, but I think the first game I remember was the 87 on the TV was the 87 FA Cup final, just being engrossed with that. But I had been to games before because I used to go and watch it with my granddad and stuff. But yeah, I think the one that always sticks out was I don't think it was the first one, but I think the FA Cup was such a big event when I was growing up. Every FA Cup final was big, and I just remember that Coventry Spurs one being a massive TV event.
Arsenal Newcastle 97 was the first one I really remember, and I think I'd just gone to my first game as well. No, that was the Christmas I went to the first Blues game. My first ever game I went to was a Villa game.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Coventry 4-0. First World Cup you remember? 98. I remember being on the sofa with a cushion over my head as David Batty missed a penalty.
Italia 90 was a very good, very good.
Which record do you think is going to be broken? So Alex Ferguson's 13 Premier League titles, Zinedine Zidane's three-peat, Mourinho 9 years unbeaten at home, or Alonso's 51 game unbeaten streak in all competitions?
Too many there.
Yeah. Or Pep's, and there's another one, or Pep's four-peat.
Yeah, I don't even remember them.
Yeah.
Next question. Boring. You've got to get it shorter. Don't go long like that. I mean, how many was there?
These are the hardcore fans, man.
13 titles from Sir Alex won't be beaten.
Let's just move on. Let's do a non-football
that 9-year one from Mourinho at home is very good.
Yeah,
that won't be beaten. I don't think the Invincibles will be beaten.
Not now.
No,
but to be fair, if there was ever an era for the Invincibles to be beaten, it would be Manchester City side, wouldn't it?
Football's changed though, hasn't it?
Yeah,
people. Yeah, I just don't think it's doable now.
No. Yeah, draws are like less common as well, aren't they? Mark, if you could prevent one crime from happening ever again, but the only way of doing it is to commit the crime yourself, what would you do to make sure it would never happen
again?
Oh
yeah, I'm not getting clipped up for that. No way. Yeah. that's basically, yeah, I've played the game, don't worry.
I think that's those are all the other ones I selected. There's loads of ones in there, but
just going back to the Invincible stuff though, I think if you want to be Invincibles now, like Arsenal, you've got to want to do that. And
that's when you've got to be down and dirty.
No one's going to want to be invincible. Like, you're not going to go, we want to be invincible. Whereas I think Arsenal that season, well, they drew 12 games in the Premier League and they didn't win any other trophy. They wanted to do that. And until a team goes, that's our focus, we're going to win the Premier League and we're going to do it unbeaten, then I don't think anyone will do that.
Because Pep has won everything now.
Yeah, but you know what as well? You're only like, there's going to be six or seven times in a season. I mean, look, Arsenal wouldn't have done that with VAR. There was a couple of proven moments, I think Portsmouth, where they should have had a penalty. And I think that...
And Pep likes the trophies as well, doesn't he? Well, like, even Carabao,
I think if you said to Pep, do you want to be an invincible and win the Premier League, or do you want to win the Premier League and the Carabao Cup? I think he'd choose the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, I do as well. I picked a selection there, so thank you very much for listening. Make sure you keep your questions coming in. We'll be doing this every week. Make sure, if you haven't, drop a follow, drop 5 stars. We just want to get up those charts because we've heard some stuff and we don't like it. We've got to work around the dark arts of the Spotify podcasts.
Yeah, get those questions in. I enjoy that. Nice little bonus bit on the Spotify at the end. So thank you very much for that. And we'll speak to you on Friday for a Premier League preview. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Liverpool-Chelsea, probably the game of the week. Although, Man United-Brentford, who's saying that's the game of the week?
Bournemouth-Arsenal, that scares me.
Man City probably got an easy 3 points somewhere.
Mansfield Town versus Birmingham.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well done, Mansfield, for being in that league.
First round of the FA Cup we're in tonight.
It's a shithole.
That's a doubt.
Apparently, Mansfield. I've been to Mansfield, and to be honest, the people who say it's a shithole are absolutely out of order.
Yeah, and we'll end there. Thank you.
Bye.